Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
And welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod. I'm Ryan Eichten, and with me on the eve of the NBA season beginning is Leo Sun. Leo, how you doing?
Ryan, we had a fantasy draft. I have a family and friends keeper draft basketball league on Yahoo that I've been running since 2010 when I was in college. So we're about 15 years into this. And I invited Ryan into our league. We had a spot that opened up. And I will say this, I probably had the worst draft that I've ever had. I unwillingly drafted Zion Williamson last year because I was watching game 5 of the Lynx Liberty Finals. And then this year, I willingly drafted him. And then you couple in, I kind of fell into Draymond Green and D'Angelo Russell, who were kind of really free-falling in the draft. And these are two dudes I don't enjoy watching on the court and off the court very much. I have some old guys like CJ McCollum and Kyle Kuzma, who's just kind of like drifting away on, you know, semi-bad to bad teams. And so, yeah, man, this is kind of what I get for selling my soul to sell my draft picks last year to win 3 out of 4 years before. So it's okay, but, you know, I'm still thinking about it. I'm not going to lie, Ryan. Last night I was thinking about, like, man, I wish I could redraft this team, but it is what it is. How are you doing?
Good. It's always easy to look back at that type of stuff. And I enjoy fantasy basketball. It always surprises me how few people play and how even fewer people know what they're doing. Not to say I'm some sort of expert or whatever, but... yeah, always a good time playing. Gives you some kind of guideline if you're, I mean, it's not a perfect thing, but like, yeah, it gives you an extra thing to pay attention to when you're watching games.
I tell my brother, I have one brother who's playing in our league with us, another that doesn't watch sports at all. And I tell him, like, playing fantasy is a really good way to learn a sport. Because not only do you learn the players and who's on what teams, but you kind of understand a little bit about, like, all right, well, what happens in a game? Like, what do you have to kind of have to look for? And I will say this, Ryan, I think it is a fantasy basketball or fantasy sports, I think is almost a lost art, because nowadays with sports betting, everyone's doing, like, you know, pick-ems and like parlays. And that's a different type of sports betting. Like, fantasy is definitely a whole different thing. And so I'm all about, like, fantasy sports. But like the sports betting pick-em, that's not really my cup of tea.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And you're never going to get a big edge playing gambling on those apps and stuff. If you can get a pretty good edge on especially family and friends fantasy leagues, I think I can, especially if you're not, there's no one taking a vig, so you're
right,
you're riding free. But
exactly,
yeah, the NBA season starts tomorrow. Leo, are you ready? Wolves don't play until Wednesday. The first two games should be a good one. Did you see Houston's starting lineup?
I did. KD at the 3, huh?
He's kind of the 2. It depends how you frame it.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going, if you remember the bubble, the Nuggets ran out like 5 centers in the preseason or the whatever the warm-up games were, though. Like, it kind of reminded me of that. And I guess after the Fred VanVleet injury, that's what they got going on. But kind of nice. Last year, the Wolves were the second game of that opening night doubleheader. Glad that we at least get one night of just watching other teams play basketball before the Wolves start.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I got some, we're going to go back to our normal setup for our podcast, kind of more free-flowing off-season discussions, but we'll go back to our normal topics. The first one, I wrote down a bunch of howl or foul. We'll kind of use this as a kind of a fun over-under game for a few random things that I wrote down here. The first one, howl or foul in the Wolves winning 50 games. I'm not going to spend much time on this. Jack and I discussed it on our last pod. I'm going over 50. I think they'll win a lot more than that this season. And it would honestly be obviously injuries, there's not, you hope none of that, but there's nothing you would be able to do about that. But if the Wolves are relatively healthy, it would be a bit of a red flag to me if they weren't able to win 50 games with this roster. But I'll leave it to you, Leo. Howl or foul? Wolves over under. Vegas has that at 49.5.
Yeah, I'm going with howl, just like you, Ryan. I'm howling on the Wolves hitting the 50 or over. I 100% understand. The West did get stronger. The West got stronger, but I think mathematically you have to go back and think about, it's not like half the teams in the West got stronger. The majority of them got stronger. So that means that there's only so many wins that could go around. Yes, they're going to be beating up on the Eastern Conference teams, but they still have to play each other, so there's still losses that are going to be had. And so I think it's a little overblown when people talk about, oh, well, with the West, like, you're going to need, as 55 games to even make it out of, like, you know, the play-in, where it's like, okay, yeah, that may or may not be true. But at the same time, I think it's, you know, teams are still going to win, teams are still going to lose. And I think that with the Wolves running it back so much, I know this has been a common topic, it takes time for chemistry for the other teams. You talk about Kevin Durant. We mentioned him starting at the three, or I guess you could call it the two. You think about some of the other teams like the Clippers, where sure, they added a lot of talent, but they're basically leaning away from their defense identity that got them so far last year. Denver, I get it. They're good, but they also added a lot of new players to their rotation. It's going to take time. It's not to say that they won't cook eventually. But what I'm getting at is that the Wolves don't need that. They're kind of on the OKC side of it, where they're running back mostly the same team, and they're going to build off of that. So not only do they already have the chemistry for earlier start, but other teams are already starting to get hurt as well, too. I'm not saying the Wolves are impervious to that, but you're looking at, I mean, yeah, Fred went down. We talked about it offline before. Ty Jerome on the Grizzlies, he's out now for at least minimum a month. You got the Kings. I mean, the Kings aren't contenders, but they're still, you know, there's still talent on that team. They've lost Keegan Murray now for a little bit. They've lost Sabonis at least for the first week. Teams are already starting to get hurt right now. And so, again, I think the Wolves, you know, knock on wood, you know, they have a clean bill of health, and I think that'll really help them.
Yeah, as far as the West being stronger, I would argue it's not a big difference, because for as many as teams that are better, there's I could name, like you did, a couple teams that are worse. Memphis will be worse this year than last year. Your boys up in Sacramento are going to struggle. Phoenix, even after a disaster year, will probably be even worse this year. Dallas is...
mystery.
Dallas will be worse than what they look like at the beginning of the year when you project it out. And then you got like teams like Portland, New Orleans, Utah, that I don't think will be significantly different than they were. That probably applies to the Clippers, the Lakers too. Like, yeah, the Nuggets, I think, are a lot better. Oklahoma City will be just as good as they were. Houston's, I think, a regular season standpoint, they'll be worse, but not by a huge margin. So, and then, I mean, obviously they don't play the East as much, but, like, the Eastern Conference is significantly worse.
Sure.
And yes, so if you're just looking at pure, not even just seeding, but if you're just looking at wins, like, how many times did they lose to Boston last year? Those are probably wins. They lost twice to Indiana. That'd be pretty brutal if they did that this year. So. Right. I think, like, if you're looking at their win total and kind of using the strength of schedule, I don't think that that'll personally apply much. But next, howl or foul. The Wolves last year, their offense finished 8th. So this year I put in the howl or foul as the Wolves will finish 7th or better in offensive rating by the end of the year. Leo, what do you got?
What was our bet on a beer that we never made good on last year, Ryan? Do you remember?
I mean, I won. I think it was just that the offense would catch up to the defense in terms of net rating.
Okay.
And you know what? I don't remember. I technically won, but I think I was willing to give you a push because I felt like the spirit of our bet, you had it. The offense of finishing 8th and the defense of finishing 6th was close enough where I was not close, willing to take a victory lap on that
one. Sure. So I bring that up because I feel like this year, I'm leaning a little bit into that same narrative where I feel like our overall defense, you look at personnel-wise, has gone down. We lost Nikhil Alexander-Walker, obviously, who's a huge part of the point-of-attack defense. You look at Rudy Gobert, who's probably not going to be better on defense than he was last year. He's already kind of had a slight decline. And then you look at who we're replacing Nikhil with, which is, in theory, TJ Shannon, who's mainly known as an offensive player at this point in his career. And you think about the increased pace, the second-year chemistry. I think last year, finishing 8th, I think that they will improve to 4th and 5th. I think that's just, again, a thing of the buildup of the team, the makeup of the team, as well as the style of play that they're going to have and the chemistry. So I think defense down, offense more up this year. What about you?
Yeah, I'm actually going to take the opposite approach. I'm going to go foul. I think they'll be more in that 8 to 10 range, basically mirroring what they were last year. Mostly because I think they will kind of get, they won't, they're not going to be top 5 in pace or even top 10 like I think they're trying to put out there right now. But I do think that, I think they're 23rd, 24th last year. I think that'll be in the top 20, say. But I actually think that by maybe 20 games in, they're going to start leaning in on defense. I think that's what's going to happen. My guess is that they run Rob out there, and that'll be hopefully a boon for the offense, but certainly will drag down the defense a little bit. And eventually Jalen Clark will start playing a lot of minutes. That'd be my guess. So I'm going to go foul. I think 8 to 10th will be where they land. We'll go on to the next one, which is pretty much the same thing, but with the defense, Wolves will finish defense 4th or better this season. Last year, like I said, they finished 6th in defensive rating, which compared to 1st by a mile 2 seasons ago, pretty down season defensively. I'm going to go Howell. I think they're going to be 2nd or 3rd this year. The only defense that Oklahoma City's defense will almost certainly, they last year they had the same, even better defensive than that the Wolves had 2 seasons ago. I think that'll be a tough bar to reach. But I think other than Oklahoma City, I don't see it. I think the Wolves should be, I mean, any Rudy Gobert defense is going to be incredible. And I think Rudy is ready for a bounce back year. Maybe not to the level, the DPOY level that he was 2 seasons ago, but I think they will be able to finish 2nd or 3rd. And after a while, they'll get Jalen Clark in there, and between Clark and Shannon, I think they'll be able to paper over the Nikhil loss, and along with my offensive pick, though I don't think those two combined in the aggregate will be able to replace Nikhil, and so maybe that'll bump down the defense just a smidge.
Yeah. What do you think, Ryan, in terms of, you know, Rudy's decline? I know you said that you feel he may have a bounce back year this year, but at what point do you think Rudy's really going to start hitting a very noticeable decline? So, you know, you're thinking maybe not this year, but do you think in upcoming years after that?
Yeah, I think he's still got a good year or two, maybe even 3 of borderline all-star play. If he was in the Eastern Conference, he'd be quote unquote in the conversation, but in the West, it's just like you're a non-starter. I actually, 2 seasons ago, I thought he should have made it over Cat. I don't know. That's like a hot take. I think I had, it was 3 seasons ago. I love Cat. So I was happy to see Cat make it over him, to be honest, but I actually thought he was a bigger kind of driving force of the Wolves winning that year. But, I do think he's only 32, and I think people get this. Healthy big men age well. If they're not injured. Yeah. And when big men don't age particularly well, it's either because they use a lot of athleticism to gain value, or they just have injuries that catch up with them. And that's certainly possible for Rudy, but he's been a fairly healthy player. He's played, I'm looking at it, 66 or more games every season since 2018. And basically every season since he joined Utah's rotation permanently, he's played 55 plus games every single year. Since joining the Wolves, he's been 70 plus every single year. So I think he'll be healthy. I think at this point you can expect on average like a 5% decrease like every other 32-year-old big man does. But I don't see like the theoretical cliff coming for a good couple years. The contract he's on with the Wolves, I think if they play that out with him, I think that'll be good. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I can agree. I can agree with kind of where you're coming from with that angle of it. I do want to throw in a couple of things here. So you mentioned about, you know, Rudy maybe not, you know, being at an all-star level. Consider this. They're doing the all-star game different this year, Ryan. So who knows? The international team might be looking for a couple extra players in there. Who knows? Rudy sneaks in. We'll see.
I won't even know. I'm not going to watch that. I gave up on the All-Star game. If they revive the All-Star game and I miss it and I'm 1 year late on them reviving that's fine. I don't need to watch they don't care about it. So I'm not going to care about it. So
that's fair. You bring up a good point about big men being able to play a little bit later as long as they're taking care of their bodies. I mean, I'm going to shout out Andrew Carlson on this one. I think he's the one that's been talking about it here at Candace Hubis about you know, Rudy's gone bald this year. He's more aerodynamic, but he's kind of got that Tyson Chandler look going, right? Where he's got that bald head, shaved head, big beard. That's kind of what he's doing. And it made me think about, okay, well, how long did Tyson Chandler play in the league? Tyson Chandler, former defensive player of the year, you know, not that different from Rudy in terms of the type of player that he is. You know, Tyson played until he was 37. And yeah, he wasn't at the same level as before, but he was still serviceable. And then maybe also think about like a DeAndre Jordan, same type of player. DeAndre Jordan still active on the Nuggets. He's 36 going on 37, you know, next year. And he's also playing at a level. Did you know, Ryan, kind of a little tidbit here, again, a little shout out to our Crunch Wears No Pants pod friends. DeAndre Jordan's first name is actually Highland, a.k.a. Bones Highland. So his first name is Highland DeAndre Jordan Jr. So FYI,
I have to reach out to Brandon on that one.
Yeah, no, but back to the topic, though, about the Wolves defense. Your how or foul is the Wolves defense will finish fourth or better. I'm actually going to go inverse to you. I'm saying how on this one. As I mentioned with the offense, I think the offense will take a step forward. I think the defense will decline. Again, I mentioned Rudy's age. I talked about the loss from Nikhil. I think going down from sixth to like ninth or 10th seems realistic to me. We've talked about it in previous episodes and other pods. They've talked about, you kind of have to be a top 10 team in offense and defense to be able to, you know, really contend for a championship. So I think, you know, if they're pushing ninth or 10th, you're getting kind of the danger territory right there. And I think everyone from Finch to the players have all talked about that their identity has to be defense this year. So they're saying all those things. I'll believe it when I see it, because if Finch is rolling out Terrence Shannon Jr. and Rob Dillingham as the eighth and ninth men over Jalen Clark, who in my opinion should be closer to that eight or ninth man spot instead, then they're not really like staying true to that. They're not holding steady with that, because if Finch really wants more defense, you play Jalen Clark a little bit more, which I, you know, feel like over the season, I think he will play more, hopefully. But yeah, so I'm going to say foul on that. I think overall, I think this year the Wolves offense will finish fourth or fifth. I think the defense will finish around ninth or tenth. Seems like we got another bet brewing again, Ryan.
Yeah, we can run that back, basically. I don't know what we can find a middle ground where to push again, but we'll figure out the basically. I think that I think the defense will be better, and you think the offense will be better again, which I guess we'll see.
One of us will win. Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
All right. Howl or foul number four, Anthony Edwards will finish top three in MVP voting. Leo, what do you think?
I am saying foul. Ant is saying these things about, oh, well, if I'm playing against, you know, the lower level teams or the lower level competition, I'm going to try and go for career highs. He's talking about working on his mid-range. I think that's all kind of for show. I think Ant is learning what it takes to lead his team and know that he can't just brute force it all the way. And so I think we'll see a slight decline in Ant's numbers, his raw box score numbers at least. I think his points might dip a little bit. Again, he said in media availability today, I think this morning, that he's not going to let his mid-range affect the way that he's going to shoot threes, the volume that he's been shooting threes at. He says that, but I mean, if preseason is any indication, he's taking a lot more mid-rangers than we probably want him to be right now. So with all that said, again, you know, there's so many things that goes into who is an MVP candidate. I just don't see Ant breaking into the top three of Shea, Jokic, Giannis, you know, depending on the Lakers go with Luka. There's probably gonna be some dark horse candidate in the East as well too. Someone has to finish first over there. So again, it's probably gonna be a Brunson. It's probably gonna be, you know, even talking about a Cat maybe if they finish top. So yeah, we'll see. But I'm saying foul. I don't think he will finish top three.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it's Jokic and SGA are really high bar. If Ant is an MVP candidate, the Wolves will be considered title favorites. Not favorites, excuse me. As good of title chances as, say, Denver by the end of the year.
Sure.
To me, that's, I mean, it's obviously the difference between Jokic and Ant is the reason why the Nuggets have a better chance of winning the title. And that's, I don't think Ant will really ever reach that lofty of a bar. Maybe I'm underselling him just because I think Jokic, when we look back, Jokic will be considered like one of the 10 to 15 greatest players ever. And SGA basically had one of the best guard seasons since like Kobe Bryant last year. That's a high bar. And so, yeah, like third seems incredibly possible. I just think I'm pretty high on the Bucks, at least compared to like general consensus. And I think if the Bucks are like the third seed with that roster, I think it's going to be hard for Ant to pass up Giannis.
Right.
And you mentioned, I agree with you. You mentioned Luka has a, if the Lakers are a top four seed, Luka will get buzzed, especially if LeBron's back continues to be an issue.
His butt is an issue.
Okay. Yeah. And then you mentioned Brunson and then someone from like the Cavs. If the Cavs win 60 plus games, like Mitchell will get buzz there too. So I guess Ian has a better shot than I think that type of player. But it's a high bar. So I'm going to go under top three. But like I said, if he's a top three, like they're going to be like the two seed. And they're going to have a pretty darn good chance of repeating the Western Conference stuff from the past 2 years or even going further than that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ryan, in that I think with Ant, I think you and I are seeing the same thing here, that Ant's numbers statistically is never going to be better than a Luka or a Giannis, like at this point in his career at least. And so for him, the only way for him to be top three, it has to be the team narrative, like the team success narrative. Like that's the way he has to go, right? Like he's not going to average a triple double or anything close to that. That's just not how it's going to go. You know, I think the best he could do is maybe if he gets like Shea level numbers, I think you and I can agree that maybe until he proves it, you know, he's not going to hit that level quite yet. And plus Shea has the team. So Shea kind of has it on both sides. And so I just don't think Ant is going to be able to do it strictly off, like say like a Wembanyama case where it's like, oh, Wemby's averaging like 7 blocks a game and like 12 rebounds and like 28 points. It's like, okay, well that's a lot of stats, you know? So yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think first team, if I had wrote this as first team All-NBA, I would have gone Howell. Yeah. I think that especially with Halliburton and Tatum already out for the year, exactly. That should be where Ant slides in terms of that hierarchy. All right, next one. Howell or foul, Mike Conley starts more than half the game, so 41 or more. Does Mike Conley start this season?
I am saying foul, and it pains me to say foul. I want to believe no one loves aging, old, veteran, undersized veteran point guard than I do. When I go play pickup with my friends on Thursday nights, that is me. I feel like I am Mike Conley out there where I'm like, you know what, man? 8 years ago, I would have been whooping your ass out there. But then now it's like, you know, I'm trying to get up and down the court. I'm just like, hey, look, I'm a good team player. I'm going to make the right play. And, you know, Mike turned 38 not that long ago, and I just don't see – how that's going to be sustainable. Again, I don't want to take too much just from preseason. Really usually does not matter at all, but we've seen it even into the postseason. He's just been getting hunted a lot more on the defensive end, you know, trying to hold up there. And offensively, he's just not contributing inside the three-point line that we need him to. I know his advanced numbers looked good last year. I just feel like health-wise, if they really want to have the best version of him, which is like, you know, someone that could help, you know, secondary playmake a little bit with, you know, get Rudy going, provide some perimeter scoring, then like they have to keep him healthy. And to keep him healthy, he can't be playing. I mean, maybe he can start, maybe, but I even then I'm hesitant to say that he's going to start. I think eventually the proof is going to show, you know, Father Time is undefeated. And at some point, you got to start coming off the bench. So yeah, I'm going to go with foul, sadly, on this one.
I'm going to go with Hal because I'm just going off of what they have been putting out there to us, the media, and that just like, I feel like they're going to lean into Mike more, not less. And that's going to mean starting him. If I made this a minutes based thing, maybe it'd be different. He'll probably play slightly fewer minutes than last year. Good chance. And I would guess he'll sit more back to backs. I just think they're going to continue to lead on him in the starting lineup. And Dante will almost certainly play more minutes than him on a per game basis or total basis, especially. But I do think Mike will probably start 50 or 60 games, in that I personally don't think the lineup change is coming. Where you might see the difference and probably should see the difference is with the closing lineups. I would argue that Mike, it totally depends on the game flow. But closing with your best five guys for that game is much more important than starting with them. And that's, sure. I think more willing to. But certainly Mike's not going to be the one that's putting up a stink. He'll be willing to do what the team needs him to do, but I just think they'll keep him in the starting lineup for most of the year. much to, it seems like, the fan base's chagrin. I think they would prefer the other way around. But next one, Julius Randle makes the All-Star team. A very common take that I've seen out there, including Dane on this very podcast. We talked about that. But how a foul for you, Leo, does Julius Randle make the All-Star team?
I feel actually pretty optimistic about this one. I'm going to say how. I think a lot of it's going to be based on how the first half of the season goes, you know, the narratives and how the Wolves are finishing. I think last year, obviously, we all know how bad of a start they had. And I think that impacted, obviously, only Ant made the team last year. I think if the Wolves are a top three team in the West, it's hard not for them to get two. Now, again, I do think Julius has been playing well, obviously, from the playoffs into, you know, preseason. I think that's going to carry over. So not only is Julius going to be playing better, but I think if you look at who made the All-Star team last year on the West, okay? Now, think about this new format that I agree. I don't like the new format, right? But if they're doing this international thing from the West, that means you're losing Shea, you're losing Jokic, you're losing Şengün, and you're losing Wemby. That's four All-Stars right there. They're already going to be out from the Western Conference side. Now, Kyrie was an injury replacement last year. He's not going to be on the team this year. You know, you look at guys like LeBron was a starter. I mean, he's probably going to get voted in again. But, I mean, who knows if LeBron's going to be healthy. I know that's a ways away from here. I just think that there's spots open to be had, I think, on the All-Star team. And I think if the Wolves are playing well, similar to Ant getting top three MVP votes, I think a lot of it will be based on how the team's success is and how they look in the standings. And so I think because I believe in the team, I do think that Julius would, by default, be the second guy to get All-Star consideration for the Wolves.
Yeah, I'm going to go foul, but I think it's very plausible that he gets there. I just, looking at his numbers from last year and even baking in a 20% increase to his scoring output or his efficiency and all that, I just think that voters are going to go a different way. Even if, and the Wolves would have to be like neck and neck with Oklahoma City at the All-Star break for them to get that second All-Star. And I just don't think they'll be doing that. But I do agree that I think Julius is in for a very good season this year. I would recommend, it was a while back, but go read John Krasinski's piece detailing Julius's journey since being traded. I continue to feel that a lot of us underestimated the toll it took on Dante and Julius, the timing of that trade, and really the team just it was a really tough spot for everyone involved. I'm not saying they're gonna, what, they won 17 of their final 21 games last year. They're not gonna win that. They're not going to win at that pace all year and win 60 plus games, I don't think. But I do think, like, I mean, last year they would have won 54 games if they had any sort of clutch game in them. And they have the talent to win a lot more games. And like you said, if that's the case, then Randle will have a pretty darn good shot at the All-Star team.
Look, Ryan, I'm going to say this. I want to get this going for Julius Randle. This is straight edge Julius Randle, okay? This is Julius Randle that said he's not smoking weed anymore and that put him in a dark spot. And so, you know, he started doing that last year. This is his first, I think, full season, going full on straight edge, above the influence, not of this world, Julius Randle, okay? So I am pumped for Christian straight edge Julius Randle this year. So I hope that becomes a thing. He's got goosebumps already. Let's get straight edge Julius going this year.
Yeah, all the anti-drug, anti-marijuana are gonna use this for their narratives, for better or for worse, I guess. But next one here, I got. We already talked about a little bit, but Rudy Gobert will finish top three in Defensive Player of the Year voting at the end of the year. I'll go first. I'll go foul only because people just don't like him. People just don't like Rudy Gobert, and even if he has a season that's deserving, like, he's going to need to he's basically going to have another DPOY season other than Wemby to make it to that top three. And I just think people won't give him the credit, even if he deserves it. Even I do think that, like, he'll, just by a pure metric, if you go find a catch-all defensive stat, that he'll be deserving of that. But just with how the voting goes, kind of similar to your all-star opinion, where it's the voting is janky or whatever. I'll go with that. For Rudy and DPOY. What do you think?
I agree. I'm going foul on this one as well, too. I already talked about how I feel like Rudy is going to be declining sooner than later. Doesn't mean that he's not going to be a serviceable starter on potentially a championship team. I think that's still very possible. But there's just too many competitors as well, too. I mean, everyone talks about Wemby kind of is a walking defensive player of the year, barring games played, basically. And so, you know, if Wemby's playing, was it 60 games or 65, whatever that threshold is, if he hits that, he's going to win defensive player of the year, most likely, unless the Spurs are just absolute ass, which I don't think any of us are expecting. And then, I mean, Evan Mobley as well, too. He's playing a weak East, and, you know, he's a reigning defensive player of the year. And I love Evan Mobley. I got stock in Evan Mobley Island. I got tickets there every year. I think he's also going to be a threat. I just think that overall there's going to be teams. I mean, you even look at anyone on the Thunder. I know they're kind of a defense by committee. But again, if the Thunder's defense get even better than it was last year, you're kind of looking at potentially like a Marcus Smart winning defensive player of the year for that Celtics squad, you know, just because he was like the highlight player of that team, even though it wasn't just him. So I could see someone like a, you know, Caruso or someone like a J-Dub or like, you know, any one of those players are very eligible for that. So I just think, yeah, the competition is too much. Reason declined a little bit. So yeah, like Ryan said, people probably don't like Rudy that much. And I think the final dagger was, how you know that's probably over for Rudy was that even after the Timberwolves eliminated the Warriors in game 5 of the second round, even Draymond Green was willing to compliment Rudy like, hey, you know what? He's a 4-time defensive player of the year. When Draymond is willing to kind of cede a little bit like, yeah, he's a good defender, I think that's because he knows that Rudy's time winning defensive player of the year awards is over.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I just think if Wemby's healthy, he's going to win the award. He might win it for right. If you had to put the over-under on basically 4.5 DPOYs for Wemby in his career, there's a good chance.
Yeah,
there's a good chance that he hits that over. It's like injuries are the only way that if you just play... Do you have to play 65 for DPOY too? Like, you might just play 64 and that'll take awards away from him. But
seriously.
Next award I had on the list, Sixth Man of the Year. Howl or foul that one of the Timberwolves will win Sixth Man of the Year this year.
I'm going Howl. I'm feeling optimistic about this one. Two words, Wolves Pod? No, two words, Naz Reid. Okay. Naz is a top two betting favorite on a lot of websites I looked at earlier today. And for good reason. I think that not only is he going to have a bigger role with Nikhil, obviously, you know, give you up some minutes. I think Naz freshly signed. I think they're committed. I think part of the pitch to Naz staying, even though he had been verbal about that he feels like he could be a starter, is that he's committed to not just his role as a sixth man, but that he thinks he's going to get more opportunity there as well, too. I think Finch does trust him to a certain amount. One of my hot takes on Canis Hoopis preview that will have dropped by the time you're listening to this is that Naz Reid will start at small forward at some point this year. Again, that's a very hot take of mine, but I would love to see. I think a lot of teams are going double bigs, and why go double big when you can go triple big? And throw Naz Reid in there at small forward. Anyways, my point being is that not only is he going to be having a better year than he did last year, I also think that the field is a little weak. I was looking at some of the other people that were in that top spot or the top betting odds other than Naz Reid. Ty Jerome was one of the guys that was very commonly mocked up there. And he's, like I mentioned, already out, sadly, for Ryan's fantasy team for a month or so. So Ty Jerome is out. And you look at other guys like DeAndre Hunter. I think I saw Jordan Clarkson, who's like in his mid-late 30s at this point for the Knicks. Like, it's not a strong field out there. So, again, anything is possible. I hate kind of always taking the conversation back to the Thunder. But it is kind of, I feel like, with the Thunder, if they're playing really well, they have a ton of eligible people who can win the award for Sixth Man of the Year. But I think it's Naz Reid this year. I think he's going to come back and take it.
So I'm going to go foul because I actually think Dante is going to play well enough to play himself into that awards conversation. And I just think they're going to end up splitting too many votes. And maybe even Shannon. Maybe Shannon will get down ballot votes too. And voters will have a tough time like choosing which wolf. And that split will cause enough that someone else will be able to come in and take votes. And I do, the thing with Naz is he will play almost every single game off the bench, and if the Wolves are healthy, he'll play every single game off the bench, where other candidates will start a certain will probably start more games than him. So for that award, that'll play in Naz's favor. But I'm excited to see what they can do with Dante this year, because last year, same with Julius, like, never really found a rhythm. Even later in the season, shooting wise, never really caught fire as much as we'd like to see. But I think they, with their training camp and an off season, they'll be able to find actions better that better suit Dante to get him kind of closer to the New York version that they saw.
Go ahead. I think that, like, you know, with I forgot what year it was. I want to say it was maybe like 5-6 years ago. It was the year that Jordan Clarkson won Sixth Man of the Year. That him and Joe Ingles. I think Joe Ingles was like the runner-up for that award that year, and they're both on the Jazz. And so, you know, it is possible that yeah, they're taking votes away from each other. But I think if the Wolves play really well, we kind of go back to the same storyline. If the Wolves are playing well and they're high in the standings, then they're going to rake in more awards, just like they did 2 years ago when Nas won Sixth Man of the Year. Rudy won Best Player of the Year. You know, we saw Cat as it with the All-Star year again. You know, they just won a ton of things because the team success was there. So I think if the team success is there, it's very possible that they could. But yeah, it's a fair point. I have Dante Stock this year. I think he's going to play much better too. So, yeah.
All right, next player I got on the list, Jaden McDaniels. Howl or foul, his scoring will jump up to 15 per game. For me, I'm going to go Howl. I don't think he'll get a ton more like half court shots, but with them playing with more pace, I think if they play him more like small, more power forward minutes, kind of the reverse of your Nas at the three kind of deal, yeah. That he will be able to increase his efficiency, hit a few more shots. I don't think he's ever going to be a knockdown 3-point shooter like we theoretically would want him sure. to, but I do think there's a good chance he just has. Like, if he's going to average 34% for his career, some years he'll 32, some he'll be at 38 or something. So, I maybe he gets a high variance 3-point shooting season, and he gets kind of closer to 15 points a game, up from about 12 and a half last year. What do you think?
I'm agreeing with you. I'm howling on this one. I'm thinking about how Jaden evolved last year as a player. I think a lot of us remember that Jaden had kind of a breakout year. He started off pretty slow. I think we're all a little bit kind of disappointed in the way he started to average. I'm looking at his splits from last year, October, November, December. He's averaging 10 or less points a game, you know, in the first 3 months of the year. And then once we kind of started getting some injuries, you saw his points jump up to 12, to 18, 14. And then you look at, like, in the playoffs, I mean, he was, if I just do a quick look of his numbers, Jaden McDaniels really, I think, came out in this year's offseason once again. In the playoffs last season, he averaged 14.7. And I think a lot of that is coming from, like you said, being more comfortable finding his opportunities and plays not drawn up for him, where it's like he's corner crashing so much more. And just and there's that infamous quote that he said, I just realized that I'm bigger than a lot of the guys out there. I could just go in there, grab it, and just kind of dink and dump him back in. And I think he's really took advantage of that. So I do agree with you on the pace aspect of it, too. I think more pace is great for Jaden. He's one of our best transition players as well, too. And, you know, I think because of that, he will have the ball in his hands more. So I'm agreeing with you. I think Jaden over 15 points per game. I'm howling on that.
All right. Last howl or foul I got. Personally, my least fun one. Rob Dillingham is in. Rob Dillingham will be in the rotation the majority of the season. Defined majority, non-garbage time if he plays 40 or more games as a true rotation piece, not just basically what he was last year where he was getting token minutes. What do you think, howl or foul?
It's a baby howl. It's a little baby howl for me. I'm a little skeptical. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little scared after this preseason. But the reason I'm saying baby Howl is because I think Finch is smart enough to know that you can't keep Rob in the doghouse for a second straight year. It was a bit of a strain on the relationship. I think they've talked it out. Rob is maturing as a person. I think that's great. But I think Finch understands that in order for this team to really want to get to where they need to go, Rob cannot just be a net zero out there. That it's going to be very important for him to be out there because I think Finch knows that Conley's days are numbered as well too. And so, you know, he has to start growing that. So I'm not saying it's going to yield great results. I think just because he's in the rotation doesn't mean it's going to be good. But I do think he will be in there. He might not play much, but I think him being able to realistically earn ninth man and sometimes eighth man, depending on injuries, minutes, I think is fathomable to me. So I'm a baby howl.
Yeah, I'm going to go foul. I kind of said it earlier. What I think is going to happen is they're going to, the first 20 or so games, they're going to really prioritize getting Rob, seeing what they can get. And unfortunately, at least in the short term, I'm just kind of down on Rob's ability to be a valuable piece of this team. And he's been put in a tough spot in his career. If he was on the Brooklyn Nets, I think they'd just give him the ball and let him learn and run. And it's a lot harder with teams coming into a team with championship hopes, or even, at the very least, playoff series hopes, and integrate into that sort of environment. And I just think they're going to, it's going to be tough if Jalen Clark is just not in the rotation at all. Because I think the Wolves have seen enough from him. He understands his role so much that they're going to want to play Jalen Clark, and that might come at the expense of Rob Dillingham. And then I guess I didn't put anything for Berenger. I would go under on Berenger playing rotation minutes, barring injuries this year. I think I'm as high as I think anyone on him, on Berenger long term, but the Wolves have three starters, like the eight starters thing, three starting caliber bigs that they're already trying to get minutes for. I mentioned Jaden at the four. Like the minutes just won't be there, barring injury.
I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, we all love an exciting young prospect that's kind of waiting in the wings and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't think this is a year quite yet with Yuan. The Wolves have really high aspirations, and pushing Yuan into rotation minutes, you know, rightfully so, is not high on that list of priorities.
Yep. All right, here's where I clear out. Next segment, Apex Alpha, and I think I know, Leo, your guy. Apex Alpha of the week, who you got?
Two words? No, I got two dates for you. For Johnny Juzang, on June 21st, 2022, I wrote an article on Candace Hoopus called Five Asian Hopefuls of the 2022 Draft. and I wrote that in that article that, in fact, Juzang's primary strength is something that all teams can use more of, shooting. And God damn it. 3 years later, was I right on that one? I was also high on J-Dub, or J-Will, actually. So that's the other Jalen Williams, center Jalen Williams on the Thunder. And he's actually carved out a great role for him as well, too. Those are the two guys I really highlighted in that piece. And so I was really kind of calling for this. Those of you who have never seen any video part of it or seen my picture, I am Asian. So that is why I believe these Asian players. I was like, so near and dear to my heart. So on June 21st, 2022, I first wrote about Johnny Juzang on Candace Hoopus. And then the second date, June 30th, 2025. So just over 3 years later, the Jazz cut Johnny Juzang. And I immediately skeeted on Blue Sky, as they call it. I said, do the right thing at timconnolly.bsky.social... sign Johnny Juzang. And I tagged it at Tim Connolly, which I said, I know that's not him, but still. That Tim Connolly has actually blocked me. I clicked on his profile.
That's funny.
Blocked me. Yeah, big Tim Connolly. But I was calling for him to get signed before he was really even on the Wolves roster, or Wolves radar. He did work out for the Wolves back in 2022 as a potential, you know, summer league guy. And, you know, he's kind of never really made it around with us. But, you know, this is a big day for me. You know, I know we've had our Kyle Anderson, aka Lee Kyers. I know I leaned into Rob Dillingham being, you know, his Samoan roots and him being, you know, part AAPI, Asian American Pacific Islander. But Johnny Juzang is half Vietnamese, half Creole. He is American. But still, just seeing someone that, you know, has a face of someone that I feel like I would recognize in a family gathering, it means a lot to me. And so I'm just pumped that Johnny Juzang was able to sign, work his way into a hard-earned two-way contract with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So he will be playing in Iowa, and he has replaced Tristan Newton as a third two-way. Now, two-ways aren't for sure. They don't last all season. We've seen that happen before. But I think Johnny's really proved himself, and man, that was great. I think, you know, I almost drafted him in fantasy last night, but I did not. But yeah, Johnny Juzang, that's my Apex Alpha.
Nice. Yeah, I was happy for you because I know you were pulling for Juzang. Personally, I was a little bit worried about using the 15th full-time roster spot on him just because I think keeping that open with, I think, about $3 million under the second apron for the Wolves has value. Yeah. And personally, like, I love Juzang as, like, a two-way type guy. I think if you were in a real injury pinch and you have to come up and make some shots, like, similar to like Luka Garza in the past, like that's a good role for that type of player. And obviously I think he'll get time in Iowa, but yeah, them converting him to a two-way, I think is good for the Wolves. Cause now they remain that flexibility and keep a solid player in house. One that clearly if preseason games are going to mean anything, if you're going to take away stuff, like he played well enough, like he should be on an NBA roster somewhere. And so it might as well be here.
Yes.
But my Apex Alpha this week, The one and only Prince. Earlier today, recording this on Monday, the Wolves released the new / returning Prince jerseys, just an outright classic NBA jersey. Pair them with the trees, and it's like, why wear your normal jerseys? Just wear the purples and the blacks all year. Really excited for the debut of those. They're only wearing them 7 times at home and 2 or 3 more times on the road, so kind of wish you'd see them more, but maybe that'll make it special. We're still waiting on the promotion schedule, like in terms of bobbleheads and all that sort of fun stuff. Yeah. The conspiracy theory out there is that we're waiting on KG for that, but that's a complete conspiracy theory. I'm pumped for the Prince jerseys. It's going to be fun that first game when they debut them, and they got the Prince blaring, and they called it Indigo Night. I'm assuming that's because, like, Purple Rain, like, they, for whatever reason, there was some, I mean, they're partnered with the estate, so it's not like, I don't know why they're calling it Indigo Night, but I'm sure there's a reason.
You're excited to find out.
I guess so. I mean, I'll ask them why is it, it should be Purple Night, right? Well, yeah. I'll ask.
Well, Ryan, do you know what today is? So on the day of recording, Sunday, Monday, October 20th, do you know what today is?
The Blue Jays made the World Series.
No, today is NBA Jersey Day. # NBA Jersey Day. Okay. That's a push they've been pushing out for some time that no one really pays attention to. But I am rocking, for those of you who are not able to see this, Karl Anthony Towns Prince themed jersey that I officially bought from the store there. So it has a Fitbit patch on it still right here. And so I'm a little sad, Ryan, you're not wearing your favorite NBA jersey today, but that's okay. I too am pumped for these Prince jerseys. The Wolves on Instagram posted the 2025-2026 Minnesota jersey lineup, and it has like this photoshopped of like Ant in the middle wearing the black trees, and then you have Rudy to his right wearing the Prince jerseys. On his left, you have Julius wearing those. I think they're the City Edition, the black, the kind of dark gray black jerseys with the lime green line, and then you have the awful sailor suit defaults in the back. Sorry, Jaden and Mike Conley wearing the white and the blues. But I mean, I'm not gonna lie, looking at that, like, it makes me a little bit more excited to watch the games, like, just purely from a fan aesthetic. I feel like if I was a kid, dude, I would be eating this up like so bad. And even as an adult right now, I'm like, I'm in. I'm like, I just told my wife after I bought Anthony Edwards' Black Tree jersey, I'm like, that's the last jersey I'm going to buy in a long time. And once they officially unveiled these and I got to see the videos of them on, I'm like, I have to make one more purchase. Now, Ryan, you said they're going to wear them about 7 times, right? Now, when they unveiled. At Target Center. Now, when they unveiled the black trees, they said they're going to wear them 21 times, perhaps hinting at a retirement. Well, Ryan, if I had to ask you, is there a number 7 on the Timberwolves that you think a jersey they may retire? Is there any player that comes to your mind?
I'm honestly really bad with player jersey numbers, so you'll have to tell me.
If you had to pick one, there's I think 11 different players here, but if you had to pick
Joe Mauer was playing ping pong with Dante DiVincenzo tonight. Joe Mauer's number 7, but I don't think that's what you're hinting at.
Well, if you had to pick, I mean, I'll give you a couple of the highlights. So we have Terrell Brandon, you know?
I don't think
You have Ramon Sessions, who played a couple games. No, I'm just kidding. I'll skip Ramon Sessions. Derek Williams, former number 2 overall pick. Or number 7. And then you have Jordan Bell, the man who came in with his jersey untucked. And then you have Wendell Moore Jr. and Joe Ingles. Any of those numbers you think the Wolves would want to retire?
I don't think so, no. Lance Stevenson, maybe.
Let's go Lorenzo Brown. I met Lorenzo Brown once in person. He's a nice guy.
There you go. Yeah, we'll hang Joe Ingles on the rafters, so he'll appreciate that.
He deserves.
All right, let's move on to playtime. Jack and I discussed a lot of NBA stuff around the league, but I thought we'd just start with finals predictions. I'm gonna go with Denver Nuggets. They're my championship pick. They put themselves in a tough spot with like a lot of money with Michael Porter Jr. I think Zeke Nnaji makes a lot more money than I think they'd ideally like. And they had Dario on a number that wasn't ideal either. But they kind of felt like people were handing them players. People like, they just got Valanciunas. Like, they were just handed up to him. They kind of were given Cam Johnson for Michael Porter Jr. too.
Yeah,
at the very least, that's a push in terms of play. Probably prefer Cam Johnson, and they got a bunch of salary relief. I just think, I think they're going to be a monster with Jokic, especially in the playoffs. And then I really struggled with Cavs or Knicks in the finals. I just went Cavs. Just I don't know, because that's the default. That's the betting favorite.
Okay, call your shot. What's the series you think in the finals?
Nuggets over Cavs in six.
Okay. I like that. That would be exciting. You know, again, it's not maybe a brand new team being in the championship parade this year, but you know, I'll accept the Nuggets. For me, Ryan, for my finals prediction, it's not super inspired either. I am saying OKC is going to run it back into the finals, and I do think they will run into the Cleveland Cavaliers in the finals. That's the matchup I think most people predicted would happen going into the postseason last year. And I'll swerve and I'll say that I think Cleveland's going to upset them and win in six. I'm a big-time Mobley believer, like I said earlier in the show. I really do like Donovan Mitchell. I think he's a playoff riser. There's question marks about their depth, you know, who they have out there. I know they signed Lonzo this year. They have, you know, DeAndre Hunter, who had a good year last year. I believe Max Strus is hurt recently, so he's kind of on the mend already, but I think last year people just believed that the Cavs just fell apart in the playoffs, when really it was the injuries that really mounted for them. They were out a lot of guys. I know Darius Garland's still out a little bit right now, but you know, I think that if they were healthy, they wouldn't have gotten their butts kicked by the Pacers like the way they did. So I think that was kind of a little loss in the motion there. So I like the Cavs coming in. I believe in them, and I think that maybe they could surprise some people with six.
Yeah. All right, any more hot takes around the NBA? Nuggets, I think, will be really good. Wolves, Houston, I think, will probably go under. But yeah, I think in the East, I think Milwaukee is a dark horse to make the finals. I don't see anyone else other than Cleveland and New York really competing to win the East. Milwaukee would be my dark horse there.
You're not believing the Orlando-Atlanta hype?
No, not in terms of finals. Those are, they're solid teams, but not in terms of, I think beating those top two teams will be tough. And then I would probably be down on Boston in the short term, just because their front court is pretty brutal in terms of talent. And I just think they're not going to rush Tatum back. So that'd be kind of my takes. What do you have around the NBA?
So some random ones here. I think at least one LA team will not be making it to the playoffs. That means that they might make it to the play-in, but they're not going to make it through. I just don't believe in the collective age of all those stars in LA. And the health, again, like we said, LeBron's out a little bit right now. With Kawhi, you just never know. Chris Paul is very old. Brooke Lopez is very old. They have a lot of creaky dudes over there, so I think one of them is not making it. I think the Spurs will surpass even like their modest expectations. A lot of people are expecting them to, you know, potentially, you know, threaten for a playoff spot potentially through the play-in. I think that they have potential to finish top six. I'm a big Spurs believer. I like not just Wemby, but I really like Castle. I really like what I saw from Dylan Harper. I'm a Vassell believer, so I do think they have what it takes to kind of make a top six finish if all things go right. I think Memphis is a team that's going to blow it up by the trade deadline. They are already just way behind with injuries already this year. That was kind of what plagued them last year. They have technically a first brand new head coach, even though he came in the middle of last season. They'll be running different stuff. They lost a core player. And then lastly, this is my kind of off the wall one. I think Toronto, the Raptors, might actually be kind of fun, and they might even threaten as a playoff team, you know, maybe through the play in. Part of that has to do with how weak the East is, but I really like Darko Rajakovic, their coach over there. I think he plays an equal opportunity offense, and he makes them play hard on defense. Whether or not they actually do well, they will play hard. So I do like Toronto as kind of that weird team that comes out of nowhere, like, oh. Because I feel like last year, Ryan, like, did you think that the Pacers were going to do as good as they did last year?
No, I mean, not make the finals, but the regular season record was probably about where I would have put them.
Yeah, so I think when it comes to the playoffs, I feel like every year there's always going to be a team that no one expected that came out of nowhere. I'm not saying Toronto is going to be that team, but I do think that this year there may be another team that just kind of shows up out of nowhere. They might not win the finals, but they'll make at least a second or maybe even conference, second round or conference finals. But those are my kind of around the league takes. You know, I'm going to put my receipts in there. We're going to go ahead and clip these in the future when one of them does happen or one of them blows up in our faces.
Awesome. Well, we pretty much made it. NBA season starts tomorrow. Wolves start on Wednesday. I know I'm particularly ready to be done. I'm personally not a good. I don't like previewing things. I'd much rather talk about what has happened, because I certainly can't tell the future. But Wolves start off with 2:09 p.m. Central tips. I know that doesn't affect you out there in California as much as it does us here in Minnesota. But the 9 p.m. tips are a fitting way to start the season. The 10 p.m. tips down the road in the NBA season.
Yeah, good luck.
At least they I think I once went to a 9:30 tip at Target Center, a home game. That was insane. Yikes. But they opened in Portland, then head to LA. I know you'll be at that game, and then home Indiana, home Denver, home LA. Just kind of briefly looking through the beginning of their schedule, the first like 15 or so games are pretty soft. They play, I mean, in terms of teams that like you're going to go into it and not like almost all of these games, you're going to go into it, be like, the Wolves should probably win this one. The ones that like don't might not qualify are the two, they play Denver, the fourth game of the season. And again, at home later, if you end up splitting those games, you probably, that's probably a fine enough outcome. Yep. Other than that, they play in New York. Every other one of these first 15 or so games are going to be games that you're going to be like, yeah, the Wolves should win this game. They play Phoenix. They play Utah twice. They play Sacramento three times, all in the first month or so of the season. Charlotte, yeah. Brooklyn, Washington, like
LA without LeBron twice early. You
know? Right. The Lakers, they get injury luck with the Lakers, and obviously the Pacers aren't going to have Haliburton all year, but you get a Pacers team that's still dealing with that. It's a soft part of the season, even if you go to like 20 games. They play Boston, San Antonio, and New Orleans. I guess San Antonio's not in the bad category anymore, but like they have a chance to really start off well. And in the first 20 games, they probably should be winning 12, 13, 14, 15 of them, somewhere in that general area. And if it's not, I think you'll look back on it and be like, that was the soft part of our schedule. Yeah. We should have, especially with the key buzzword continuity going forward.
Yeah, I'm excited for the start of it. Yeah, I also, it feels like it's been a long off season for the Wolves here, but yeah, I'm excited for these games. Like Ryan said, I will be there reporting from LA over there to kind of see what skinny Luka looks like in person, and I will report back. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I will say this, Ryan, famous last word, he said these first couple games should be easy. When the Wolves play the Pacers next Sunday, so less than a week from today, I'm a little nervous about that game.
Obi Toppin's easy joke. Obi Toppin's already made 5 threes. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So aside from that, yeah, I totally agree with you. I do think that the schedule is favorable. And so, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm excited. I agree with you. I think early teens victories in the first 15, 20 games would be great.
Yep. All right. Let's head out with our two words. Mine are no excuses. This is something that I'm really taking it from Kyle Tagi, who said it on this podcast early in the offseason, and of course on his appearances with Dane on his pod, where it's just like, this is the time. They're not championship or bust if any team is really that anymore. And as 24 years old, that's generally the time that super duper stars, top whatever NBA Hall of Famers, it's the time they really start hitting their stride. And when you have a 24-year-old, either fringe or MVP candidate, however you want to frame that, and that player has a good team around them, that's a team that should win a whole bunch of games and should be, at the very least, fighting. Like, there shouldn't be a team that you go, we got no chance of beating them. And so if they don't win 50 games, again, if X player gets hurt and there's certain circumstances, like, we'll obviously reevaluate given circumstances. But, like, given a 50th, 40th, an average or even slightly below average healthy season, like, they should win 50 games. And if they don't, and there's not any mitigating circumstances, it's going to be something that I look at and I go, what is going on here? What is not quite working? But I think I expect them to do that. And so I guess we'll just take it game by game starting on Wednesday in Portland. I'm excited. Leo, your two words.
My two words are have fun. In the eternal words of Russell Westbrook, now of quote-unquote my Sacramento Kings, he once said in the Lakers locker room after LeBron was like, let's get greedy, let's win some games. He interrupts and he goes, look, guys, look, most importantly, have fun, win, lose, or draw. Just keep having fun. That's the attitude I'm kind of bringing into this. Excuse me. I get having expectations. I agree with you, Ryan. There are no excuses that, you know, barring any type of setback with injuries or something crazy like that. But, you know, it's okay to have expectations. And I think I understand that we have a, for better or worse, current championship window. I think there is a championship window that's slightly ajar open for us right now. But as a fan, I think last season just felt really, really exhausting for me. I think we had a lot of really close wins and comes back. And we had a lot of close losses at the end. I just remember last season, I just felt like, man, like every game seems like just a freaking, like, just trying to crawl through mud. And so, you know, I'm trying not to lose sight of the fact that, look, we're fans, and the ultimate goal of us being sports fans and watching it is to have fun. Like, yes, it's great if our team wins a championship and, you know, we'll feel like, oh, you know, we're the media, we're part of it. But in reality, we're just people that are watching it and we want to have fun and we want to enjoy watching our team. And so, as Ryan, I know you and I have been here, we've been through so many darker days in the past where things were not so fun. So I really want to enjoy the fact that we have a good team. Even if we fall short of expectations, like, it can still be fun. So yeah, for me, win, lose, or draw, like Russell Westbrook said, just have fun.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that this is probably going to be, of our lifetimes, the best era of Timberwolves basketball. There's a very good chance, if not very likely chance, that this, let's call it 10-year stretch from 2021 when Ant was drafted till however long we get to have him on our favorite team. It's like the Andy from The Office quote, I wish I knew the good times. These are the good times. Even if they don't, I think Minnesota sports fans, Timberwolves fans especially, are not greedy. If you guarantee us only one championship over the next X number of years, we will take that, run with it and celebrate it. The Vikings played the Eagles, who their fan base is pretty pouty, and I'm like, you've won two Super Bowls in the past seven years.
Yeah.
If my team won one championship, any of the men's teams won a championship, because those are the teams we're waiting on. Like, even the Vikings, who are, like, by far, like, Wolves and Twins are by far my two favorite teams. Even if the Vikings, like, I would just be, like, they'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And so, we're not asking, even if we don't get that one, and these are the good years of Wolves basketball. And it's not to say you can't be frustrated by a game or a season or whatever, but you got to couch it with, like, you almost certainly look back at these years fondly. And so so the journey is as much fun as the destination. Obviously, like that, I was thinking about this for the Seattle Mariners, who just gut punch of a loss in game seven for them. And I saw I like going through like the post game Reddit on their page, and someone said, I would have rather gotten blown out. And I feel how you want to feel, but I was just kind of like, no part of you. I just think that's like a cop out. Like, no point of view, like, I don't know, like, sometimes getting your heart ripped out is the point. Feel something. You cared about something. And did it work out? No. But, like, you got to have fun. It didn't work out. Like, that like, gut feeling that you had is kind of the fun of it sometimes. And you hope that it works out. It's likely not. 29 teams aren't going to win the title this year.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else. we'll try to enjoy it. Leo, anything to wrap up before the start of the season?
Yeah, I just want to take this time to remind all the listeners who are listening to this, whether you're a Wolves fan or not, was that the Minnesota Timberwolves eliminated the Los Angeles Lakers in the 2025 playoffs. So we'll always have that, and I just want to remind everyone that we'll still have these precious moments. And I'm excited. Ryan and I are excited for another season covering the team and bringing y'all what we can through Two Words Wolves Pod. This will be a hell of a season. And at the very least, we're going to look at some really beautiful jerseys all year. So
I do like to go even back to The Office again. Michael Scott flips off the camera and says, take two of these and call me in the morning. I feel like that's what you're saying to Lakers fans. You're already flipping them off, saying, take 100%. Two of these, call me in the morning.
I was literal when I said you will never hear the end of this from me. I will be like in my 80s or 90s, like just sending out tweets or just blue sky skeets out to about, hey, remember when Mike Conley blocked LeBron James on the break? That'll be me.
Yeah, I mean, throwing the Warriors in that too. Like, they beat the Lakers and the Warriors in the same postseason. Like, I the season was frustrating, but like,
that was magic. It was worth it. Yeah,
it was worth it. All right, that's where we're going to wrap up. Thank you, everyone, for listening. For Leo, I'm Ryan. Thank you.
Get home, drive safe.
Go Wolves.
Ayoo!